this guy came through, like, covered in blood, like he was being chased by someone.
Squid Game.
Straight up, like, he was, like, he came through covered in blood, and then he, like, went into one of the food stalls, and then he came out with a machete, like, from one of the kitchens.
What?
And, like, this guy is, like, running around the food court. He's clearly, like, in distress. He's been attacked by someone. He's looking for the guy.
And nobody's also, doing like, anything?
He's lurching at the tables. Like, we scattered. Like, yeah. Like, me, Janice, and Ro, we got like, way back, and we were, like, behind a pillar. At one point, he's, like, coming towards me, and I've got a pillar between us. I'm, like, going around the pillar. The other side is he's coming around that way. Jonathan is sitting at his table, like, drinking his beer and eating his soup.
Like, he's nothing. Just, like...
And we're talking afterwards when
he's
the guy clears off. Yeah, and he's, like... He's like, well, he wasn't after me.
Hello! Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Stand By with JJ and Francisco.
Yes, we are... Well, we've been back. I was going to say we're back. But
yeah.
I think that's kind of done.
Yeah, like, but we are back in our new home here at the Comedy Store. And we have our first guest, our first live in-studio guest here in our new home of the world-famous Comedy Store. It happens to be Matt Kirshen. Hello,
hey,
Matt.
Hey. Hey, both of you and Brian.
Yeah.
Hello. Are we allowed to acknowledge Brian? I don't know.
No, don't talk to him. He's
just persona non grata.
You shouldn't even look at him.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't even let him have his hands free as they get
dangerous. He's breathing right now. Yeah. But that's all he can do today.
This is exciting. This is my first time in an airtight booth with other people in over 2 years.
Oh, crazy, eh? Now, I just want to do a quick intro, and I guess it should come from me because, of course, Matt, you and I go back a long ways. We were on the British Comedy Circuit together. We also lived in the same neighborhood in Britain, so we were outside of Comedy Circuit friends as well. And now we're here in LA. You guys will recognize Matt from the finals of Last Comic Standing a few years ago. He worked with me on the Jim Jefferies show, which was a great experience, and he's performing live all over America whenever he gets a chance. Well, and the world, right? So the world.
Yeah.
Well, now that it opens up again.
Well, that's definitely something, because this is a travel podcast. Like, that's something that the Americans didn't get. Like, the American comics get jealous, I think, of the Brits, because for some reason the British comedy circuit was like the booking epicenter for all these gigs around the world. I don't know why that is necessarily, but
yeah,
if there is a gig in the Middle East or the Far East or across Europe,
it's
probably filled with Brits, and then you're playing to British expats and Australians and a couple of confused Canadians.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how that did evolve that way, but I guess people just find it easier to promote the rest of the world from London, whereas in America, America's big enough that
you've kind of don't
promoting
need...
yourself well, in America.
That's something Brits don't necessarily... When Brits kind of most Americans don't have a passport or whatever, you don't...
Wait, what was that?
That was an impression of a Brit. Okay. That's how English people sound. This is how I sound, but I'm about to do an impression of a Brit. Oh, so okay. If you go to England, people will sound like this. You're
Well, then I'm never gonna understand what they're saying.
No,
I ain't gonna need subtitles.
No, hope is lost, man.
But they are like, most people don't have about whatever statistic of Americans don't have passports. But you don't realize. You kind of know how big America is, but you don't really know how big America is.
Yeah,
you don't get how... If you grew up in the middle of America, firstly, you've got every type of terrain within a couple of hours of you.
Yeah.
And also, you can fly for 4 hours and still be in America.
Yeah.
You can't do that in Britain. You can't even drive for 4 hours without being in a different country or the sea.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 6-7 hours if you really... Like, if you go the right way. But
Yeah.
If Brits could get everywhere from... like Paris to Moscow to Sicily with their library card. Like, I don't think they would have a passport either.
Yeah.
But that's what it's like living in America.
Yeah, that's true.
But now, but you're going from different cultures and different languages. In America, I know because I travel a lot. I'm like, you know, there is a difference, but also there's a lot of similarities. I mean, you're going to find the same CVS. You know, in Alaska,
and
in Hawaii, you know.
And that is what you miss out on. You're right. You can get mountains and oceans and beaches and forests or whatever, but you are still...
But it's not going to be such a big shock. Like, people go, like if you go, like, to the Midwest...
You'll still have
like,
Target.
Whoa, yeah. And people say, well, we call soda here pop. It's like, okay. Yeah. Everything else is good.
Even the accents aren't that different across America because of how America is younger and how it was founded.
Yeah.
Obviously, New York,
north to south.
Yeah,
quite different.
Well, like New York's obviously different to California, but like, is there really a big difference between a Seattle accent and a San Francisco accent?
Yeah, I don't know.
When that's like a day's worth of driving to get from one to the other. Yeah. And I grew up in England where you can, if you go to like the next town over and you start talking, they're like, oh, he's not from here.
Right.
It's just,
yeah. I was going to say the travel thing too, that's what helps on the circuit in Britain as well. So the opposite, whereas you can fly for 5 hours in America and you still haven't left the country, or you can drive forever.
Yeah.
But in Britain, that does help you with gigging for the weekend because the next city is only an hour away.
You can double up between cities. Whereas you can always get home.
Yeah, and your commitment in America when you're going to work, you're gone.
Yeah.
You're gone. You're out of here.
No, you're gone
for the weekend.
And you have to stay over there. It's not like you can go like back and forth.
Yeah, you can't go back.
I mean, even driving here, like even when I drive to like Long Beach for a gig, I'm like, should I stay here? Because of the traffic,
and as time goes on in this job too, you do feel like, I'll go there, but I wish I could just stay. I wish there was a way I could just unwind.
Having said that, I don't know, I've started valuing my own bed a lot more than I did when I was younger. Like when I was a 20 something comic, you just sleep in. Like if one of the other comedians were like, "Hey, I got a dog bed."
I'm in.
Really?
I'll take it.
That makes the night easy.
How big's the dog? Is there space?
And that's a good question. Now that we're going to ask about travel and stuff like that, because we always have this thing, you know, like when you travel, when you go to do your gigs, and how's your, like, what do you, like, do you care a lot now about, because you're saying about sleeping and stuff like that, like hotels, like, what kind of hotel do you go for? Do you go, like, hey, because when I was younger, they put me in whatever hotel, and I'd be like, fine. Now I'm like, no, you got to give me.
Yeah.
A good hotel.
And do you feel that way even if the hotel's included? Even if it's included, do you go, which one is
it? Yeah, because I got included. And they're like, one time I got the motel ones, you know, the ones where like you open the door and the cars are there.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you get killed. Too easy to like, I'm like, anybody can just walk off. I'm like, give me a list of building. You know, on an elevator. You know what I mean?
Give me an entrance.
Yeah.
You don't want to. You want to see a concierge before you see the burglar.
Yes.
Is that it? You don't want to immediately open your door to crime.
Plus, those motels are always like just for like porn. You know what I mean? Like those are like where you see most of the. I mean, well,
it's
where,
I guess
most of the porn that I see happens in motels.
But. Yeah, it's for a dirty stop out. I guess that's. Being the question. How do you try to pick and choose where you're going to stay?
No, I've definitely got choosier about hotels.
Right.
But I still say, like, a decent bed and clean. Those you'd think those would be, like,
that's
a given,
basic.
But those are my...
No.
But again, in my 20s, that wasn't, like... That was not a minimum, like, criteria for...
Yeah. Yeah. A couch.
But
and
not
beer
even that. Like, now
fine.
I'm, like, I'm looking... Like, the other day, one time, this guy booked me a room, and as soon as I got there, I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I mean, I could tell, and I just had to change. I was like, I'm not staying here, but I'm like, I'm gonna go change.
Yeah.
And it was basically like a drug motel, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, and I was like, yeah, there's no way. I didn't want to touch.
I got put
anything
up in one of those recently, and I was not happy. Like, it was a bit of a like,
I got put up in a room once. I've mentioned this to you before, where it was half painted. There was still the plastic up from the paint job. So the club promoter had obviously negotiated a deal with the dodgy hotel locally, and the guy was like, well, I have one room that I'll give you for free. The comic can stay there, but it's only half painted.
Yeah.
And the
and
guy
he's
got to
say
me
the name of the hotel in his set.
Yeah. And I showed up, and there's like still plastic up and paint cans in the corner. And I call the promoter. I'm like, it's fucking not even painted. He's like, yeah, well, I told you it wasn't painted. I was like, I didn't care that it wasn't painted. It's the fact that the paint cans and the plastic are still here.
I did one in England a while ago where the hotel was owned by the same people who did the gig.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm in my hotel room after the show, and suddenly, like, the guy knocks on the door and, like, opens it and starts bringing in chairs. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, we've got an event, so we need to store the chairs. He starts, like, loading them in.
We've got an event!
So, in your room? Yeah, in my room. So this is the storeroom? Like, what the...
I didn't know that was in the deal.
Like, you feel the number. It's like, this is the storage room. This is not 312.
And, like, the maid comes in with a bucket as well.
One time I even got back to the hotel, and then there were like cops out and everybody was out, and I'm like, what happened? I was like, oh yeah, some a meth guy was cooking meth, and it got melted. So like they went through the thing, and I'm like, luckily I was
you
like,
were in the meth room.
No, yeah, luckily I was in the other, because if not, I couldn't even go in, you know what I mean? So I could get my shit and get out of there. But I was like, what is this? Yeah. I'm like, nah, man. Like, just to pay. Because even, like, sometimes even the difference is just, like, 20 more bucks.
Yeah.
Or 30 more bucks, whatever.
Sometimes, depending on where the gig is, though, sometimes there aren't. Like, I found college gigs were the worst for that, where sometimes, because colleges are sometimes just in the middle of nowhere, and there is just, there is one hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where you are.
Yeah.
Where you are, whether you're doing a college gig, or you're visiting your kids who are at college, or you live there because you got evicted from your house near there.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
that's good. And then
I'm dying to ask you something. So, Matt, Matt, so you and I know each other from the British circuit and the international circuit and London. I'd consider you a London comic. So one of the questions that we love asking our comedian friends that we have on is, what do you consider like the biggest move of your career? So was it when you grew up and moved to London to pursue comedy, or was it what brought you to America a few years ago? What was the biggest cultural shock?
I didn't have to move to London, because I grew up in the London suburbs.
Right.
Are you from South London or North?
Northwest. London? Northwest, out near Watford.
I guess I still thought of you as moving to the city.
So when I moved into, when I moved into the comedy house in.
Yeah, now Matt lived in a house with a bunch of other comedians. It was a bit of a party. Oh, really? We called it the Clown House. And it was a bit of a party house.
It was a five-bedroom house, and it had a rotating cast of comedians living in there, and it was exactly what you'd imagine from that description.
Yeah. And especially, like, young, you know.
So it was exactly as disgusting as you think.
Yeah,
that's true. I remember you had a broken bathroom for a very long period of time. I remember one time.
Well, there were two toilets. There was the upstairs and the downstairs one.
Yeah, so you didn't need two bathrooms.
Yeah, and the downstairs one got broken at a party, and we just were like, okay, I guess we have one toilet now.
I'm not proud of this, but then
a couple of weeks later, we opened the door. We just basically shut the door at the party. We're like, no one goes in that room anymore. And then none of us opened that door for 2 weeks. And then when we opened it, there were full mushrooms growing in the carpet.
Oh.
It was like natural.
Wow, I just remember being in there and seeing a bunch of spiders and stuff. I was like, oh, this is an interesting collection.
Yeah, so it was...
That sounds like such a...
Wait, what room was that?
The bathroom.
That was the bathroom. Yeah, but the toilet broke at a party. So, but it's saying that you just closed the door and left it. I like how you have these rooms in a house. You're like, we're done with that. There's no cleaning that room. We're just done with that one. Just shut the door.
We're just down to one. We're just down to one bathroom. But we did go in there and we got it fixed. You know, we were proper adults. We were about it 2 weeks later, but we got it done. So that was it. The biggest move by far is moving to America. By far.
When did you move here?
So I did Last Comic Standing in 2007, and their gimmick that year was, we're going international. Like every year, you know, they try and do something different to mix it up. And that year, they were like, okay, we're going to do all the heats in across America, but we're also going to do London, Sydney, and Montreal. And I just went to the London audition. I didn't know much about it. I hadn't even seen the show, because it hadn't been broadcast in the UK at all. I knew kind of what the deal from being in the comedy world and like reading some American comedy message boards and stuff like that, but I hadn't seen it yet. And I just went along, did the show, and got put through to the semifinals, and that was in America. And so they sorted out my visa, and then I flew out, and then I got through to the finals. So then I was like, at that point, I was like, okay, I guess I'm in America, and I've got a visa. I've got a work permit and a really good TV credit.
Yeah. So, and was that, and did you have the clothes on your back, or did you have a suitcase? Like, how small did the move start?
Well, I moved in increments, and I didn't, that's the other thing, I didn't give up my London place for a while. I don't remember
exactly. The clown one?
Yeah.
The clown house.
I still stayed in there for a bit, and I had.
And I'm sure other people stayed in there, too.
Completely. So
I was probably in your room a couple of nights.
I'm sure, absolutely. And actually, maybe not, because you were already in London by that point. I think
I did stay at the Clown House for a few days at one period. I think I was in between.
Okay.
Homes or something.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember because you were already living just up
but
the
road. But I'll remember now. So I stayed in Nick Doody's room, actually, and which was always, I always have a laugh with him because he only had a few very intellectual books on a very barren room. It looked like a serial killer's bedroom. Sorry, Nick. I'm sorry. But we used to joke about how it looked like a serial killer's bedroom with these intellectual
books.
Well,
the books, it would be politics, psychology, and chess with a thrill. Like,
yeah.
Like,
that's very serial. And then a trashed room.
That's very Seven.
So yeah,
I kind of moved over in stages. So when I first came over, yeah, it was the whatever. It was a suitcase. But I travel with a suitcase anyway. Like I've never. I travel really light.
But yeah, I guess that's the thing. Because at no point when I've changed countries or anything do I ever bring my TV, you know, my like bigger possessions with me. They always get left behind.
And it's only in the last few years that I've really...
Lots of people move over with their favorite appliances
the TV?
And stuff
But it's
like
also
that.
Only been in the last few years that I've had stuff of my own, like other than basic... You know, when I was in shared housing, I'd bring some like kitchen stuff to that went in with the general kitchen stuff. So like some pots and pans and some plates and stuff were mine. But in Britain, when you rent somewhere, it comes furnished, which it doesn't in America.
Yeah.
So I never owned a bed or a couch or anything like that. So I really only had like the clothes on my back and my books and, you know, and a few other things like that.
Right.
Some of it's now in my parents' loft and the rest of it is I just brought over in a few stages.
Yeah, parents of comedians, I think, have a lot of comedians' possessions as they leave them. Like, it's more secure here, Mom and Dad, because I don't know where I'm going to end up in the world.
Yeah, so some of it's up there. I remember a couple of years ago, John Oliver saying he still has all his stuff in storage in London.
Right,
like,
wow.
He's still got a storage unit in London that he's just never had time to go back and clear.
Wow.
But...
I mean, I hear he makes good money. So
I think he can probably afford
he's probably not
the
as
rental.
Worried about it.
Yeah.
But my instinct's like, wow, that's expensive, John.
Yeah. that's probably costing you like $100 a month.
Yeah, John, you're crazy.
So you said you travel light. Do you, so when you travel, let's say, to like a weekend gig, do you like, what do you bring? Do you bring just like a, because he brings just like a, like a, like, just
I travel pretty minimal.
One backpack. I bring an actual suitcase.
I bring a roller bag, but it's never... Yeah. I never check a bag. If
yeah,
I can
me neither.
It.
I don't check if it's like if it's two, three days.
But I won't check a bag if I'm traveling for like 3 weeks.
You don't check it if you travel for 3 weeks?
No, I'll if I can possibly avoid it, I will.
But what do you do? You just clean, pour in the same
clothes?
Yeah,
so well, it depends on where I'm. If I'm going somewhere for 3 weeks, I'm normally staying somewhere. I'm normally gonna be somewhere for a while that has like washing machines.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll bring maybe like 5-6 days worth of clothes, and that can all fit in one suitcase.
Wow, no, I'm actually gonna about to travel. I'm gonna be gone for like 10 days.
Yeah.
I'm checking it back.
That's a check. 10 days. Yeah. 10 days is a good check.
Nah, no way would I check it back for that. I would.
There
just...
you go. See, you found somebody worse than me.
Yeah.
Look at that.
You would check it back too.
Well, for 10 days, but for the most part,
no.
For,
if it's
but
3 days,
for the most part, I'm mostly a backpack guy and just tuck it under my legs.
Yeah,
and
don't
everybody leave me alone.
Also, I'm not tall, so it's not like my clothes take up a lot of space.
No, but still, I still gotta bring a lot of. I mean, I can't fit. I mean, I don't know. Like, I also like choices.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't just be like wake up and be like, oh, now I have to wear this again.
It also depends where you're going.
You need more superstitions in your life. Because if you get superstitious, then you have good gigs, and you'll be like, all right, I've only got a few shirts that
true,
I can
no,
wear
no,
on
no,
stage
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. And it always ends up that I wear the same shit anyway. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'll do laundry if I have to, like if I'm somewhere there. But yeah, like I'll bring my laptop, bring like a small toiletry bag, and most of the hotels will have like the other stuff, like the shampoo and soap and stuff.
Yeah, that I'm
right. And...
do you have any superstitions or any kind of superstitions?
No, I don't have.
Or
do you bring something
guy?
That you care, like something that has a special value when you travel, just in case you die or something?
Not really. No.
I mean, well, not that. I mean, I'm just, you know what I mean?
No, the only important things I have with me is
in case you die.
I'll have like my passport and my documents and stuff with
right.
me.
Right. And my will.
I do always have
wait,
my passport.
You bring
passport
your passport?
With me.
Why?
Because. Just in case I need to fly back to England for something. Like, let's say something happens and for some reason I need to go back to England, whether it's like a family thing or whether it's an emergency thing with me. I don't want to have to be suddenly like, hey, Holly, can you FedEx my passport to...
Got it.
Right. That's pretty
to Michigan.
Smart.
But do you have the thing you got? You might lose it?
I always... So that is something I'll always do. When I get into a hotel, I'll put my passport and my computer in a in the safe. If there is a safe, and if there isn't a safe, I'll like hide it somewhere in the room.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, now we know.
Yeah. Yeah, like I do that. I do that in green rooms as well. Like I'll hide my shit in green rooms. I don't trust. I've got too many friends who've lost stuff in green rooms. We've had stuff stolen.
You don't leave a wallet on the table?
Matt, it blows my mind when comics do that.
Well, that's crazy too. I don't take anything out. I keep everything in my pocket.
You keep it on your pocket.
Oh yeah, we talked about this before, haven't we? Because who was it? It was Ben Hurley, didn't we? We had Ben Hurley on the show. Yeah. And we were talking about emptying because I don't like having anything in my pockets when I go on stage.
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
Francisco's like, I don't give a shit. It's security. Like,
yeah, no, because I don't want people to rob my shit.
Steve Amos had a go at me when I was new for having like too much shit in my pockets and it looking bad.
Oh, really?
He was like, what are you doing with that? Like your like pocket, like keys and wallet bulging and just
yeah. And well, it didn't change your.
So after that, I was like, okay, yeah, stuff goes in my back pocket if it fits, and then other things like if I got keys or anything like that, then they'll go like I'll hide them somewhere in the green room.
Right. Mm.
And I do that if I'm in a hotel room. I'll hide my laptop and I'll hide my passport. Mm. Or I put it in the safe if it's a hotel.
Which is funny that we do that because like when somebody's gonna rob you, but like they'll be like, well, he's like they're gonna. I mean, everybody knows that. Well, let's try to find this stuff.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know. It depends. It depends how thorough they're being. They'll probably can guess that I've got a laptop because I've But maybe I've taken it out with me. Maybe I've taken it to the.
There's not that much places to hide in a hotel room. Anyways,
I don't know. I'd be pretty resourceful. You know, I'll take like the ceiling panel out, or I'll drill into the wall.
No, you're not. Okay, you're MacGyvering this shit. I would just be like,
cut a small hole in the cushions,
in the mattress.
Okay, that's a different level.
Yeah. Like slicing the carpet and then bringing a comb to blend it back together again so they don't notice the join.
There's just a laptop size bulge in the carpet. And you're like, I don't know what that is.
I was, and then when like, so you grew up in England and London, and then so obviously when you as a kid you went out. Do you have brothers or sisters?
Three younger sisters.
Okay,
but two of them, like my parents had one. They had two of us, and then like took a while off, and then another two. So I really grew up with one sister.
Oh, okay. Because the other one, what's the difference?
You hear that, other sisters? He doesn't count you as.
But like you know, they were.
Like, what's the age difference?
There's 10 years between between the two sets.
Right, okay.
So I was...
That's a big change.
I was already almost off to university when they were, like, 5, 6, you know, when they were getting into primary school.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a big...
So, I grew up...
You're probably getting to know each other better now.
Oh, 100%.
In your adult life.
100%.
Living across the world from them.
Yeah, I know them. I know them way better now. They're adults, and, you know, we've you know, done a lot more things together.
Yeah. And then, do you have any, any travel family stories of traveling, like, you know, that
well, we'd always that is the advantage of living in Britain, is we generally go away somewhere, like abroad somewhere,
to like a country.
Yeah, so you normally go, like, the classics are like France and Spain, basically, are the two ones we'd normally go to because they're right next to us.
Yeah
and so
no trips to Brighton.
No, we didn't do that as much. We would do some. We'd go down to Bournemouth.
You didn't go north, like Scotland or Ireland? Or
oh, no, sorry. What was I was trying to think of? What's the tokenistic one that used to be huge in the 70s in England that everybody would go? The red coats and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, Butlins.
Butlins. And
yeah, no, we never did Butlins or Ponties, but we did do Centre Parks, which was like the middle class one.
Okay, right.
but we did the one in France, so we'd go to...
Wait, what is this? I don't know.
It's basically like a sort of fake... I guess Butlins is more all-inclusive because they have, like, entertainment and everything.
Oh, like
it's like
a
family holiday resort. But it's, like, it's all in, like, one camp. Oh. And everyone lives in these little huts. And there's, like, a central entertainment thing.
Like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. And there's
there you go. Just like Dirty Dancing. Yeah.
And there's, like, the kids' club.
Nobody puts Matt in the corner.
Yeah. But there's also, like, those things... They have, like, the entertainers there, and a bunch of people in showbiz started off their life as, like, Butlins or Pontins, like, red coats or blue coats. You know, they wear, like, these jackets, and, you know, they're, like, the ones who, like, you know, they're the reps. But we never did that, but we did, like, Centre Parks, where you go to...
It's like a lot of dinner theater as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they do a show in the evening at Butlins where it's just, you know, it's, like, a big song and dance, like, extravaganza, and there's a comedian and a magician, and they get kids out of the audience to do things. But no, we did. We drive down to the coast and we get the car ferry to France, and then we drive to Centre Parks. And the deal of Centre Parks is everyone's on bicycles, so you rent a bicycle and then you cycle around.
Mm.
And they
those are cool things to do.
Yeah, and you know they have like a little water. They have like a you know the pool in the area that, in the center that has like the flumes and everything. You know the slides and they got like a crazy golf and the.
I think if you're a parent, you got kids. I mean that's the best thing. It's like I because my parents also would take us all the time to like country clubs and like. My dad, you know, he was like in this like softball league and we play. And then, so it was great because you just let the kids do whatever. They know they're just going to stay there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be there all the time. And
go
to the pool, get tired, whatever.
That's exactly it. And at the time, you're like, oh, this is amazing. We go away. And you don't realize that your parents at the same time are like, we have just got rid of them for like 5 hours.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like, if I have kids, I'm going to do that. Just take them somewhere.
So we do that and we go to Spain. It'd always be like, a holiday. It would always be like one of those all-inclusive holiday resorts where, again, it's all like centered around the pool.
Yeah.
And my mum would just sit out there like roasting in the sun with a book
for 6 hours. My parents really liked those later in life too where everything, meals, everything's just taken care of. Just tell the kids to go get stuff when everything's all-inclusive. Like my sister had an all-inclusive wedding in Mexico. So we all went to Mexico for this wedding and it was the best because everybody could just be super lazy
week. And then when you're a kid, you like... You find the other kids around. You make friends.
Yeah, you became friends. Yeah, I remember I had friends of like people like those like 3 day friends, and then you never see them ever.
My parents are still friends with the parents of one of the friends that I met on that trip.
Oh wow!
They still see each other 30 years later.
That's a bit much.
That's a bit too much.
You should tell your parents. Keep your friends from real life. This is not meant to happen.
This is weird.
Yeah,
this is like a 3 day.
This is crazy.
You're like keeping in touch with a one night stand here. What's going on? This is.
I mean, those are fun. I mean, I always, like, enjoy those going into, like, you know, like, because especially when you have, like, the little friends and you're like, oh, because when you're a kid, you're, like, you're so present. Like, you think it's this is it. Like I remember having friends in a ferry or, like, in a little, and it was, like, even, like, it was, like, 2 hour trip or 3 hour trip, and I'm like, all right, we're friends forever. And then it's, like, and then, all right, we're here. I was, like, all right, never see you later. I don't know who you are, you know.
Yeah. There was one where we like formed a gang and we had a fight with like another gang.
And by gang,
I mean like a group of 3 10-year-olds and a group of another 3 10-year-olds. But it was like serious. Like for like an afternoon, we hated those other kids. And then again, like gone, done, nothing.
Wow, what the hell kind of grist are they running at Butlins?
But that's how serious the relationships are. I mean, you'll go to war for this guy.
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever either. There's no basis behind it.
We'll go deep with this.
Passionate, short-term, young allies.
And then you came here, and now you're doing comedy, obviously, in the U.S., but you also do international as well when you're, you know. And when you travel, like, what's, like, your best or favorite destination to go to? Like, I mean, for two questions. One for maybe doing gigs, and another one just for, like, vacation.
Man, that's a good question. I think my favorite two places my favorite two trips were before I was a stand-up.
Wow.
So when I was, I think.
Yeah, you were doing gangs and shit.
You're right. But like when I was 18, 19, I went with my cousin to Japan before I started university. And then.
That's cool.
And then around the same time as well, I went backpacking around Europe for about 4 months, 5 months.
Nice.
And Prague, I think, was the best place on that trip.
Oh, really? Why?
It was just great. I think we hit it at just the right time. I think we did at some point, but also it was just before Prague's now quite expensive, but it was relatively, but it was still like really Eastern European prices, and it's this beautiful city, and it was just an amazing time. It was just like everyone, and you're hanging out with other people with backpacking.
Yeah,
you're staying in terrible places, like hostels. You just don't care. Yeah, like backpackers hostels.
Yeah,
but that's the point of doing the backpacking.
That's when you do it.
Yeah.
Sure, that's what you have to do when you're young because you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And you can sleep in the floor for 3 hours and wake up the next day and be like, all right, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And you're
if I do that right now, I'd be like, I can't move.
I know. Have you gotten that shit where you've booked what you thought was a hotel and then you show up and it's not?
I truly
I've had that a couple times. It's happened to me in America. It doesn't happen in the rest of the world, but here in America, twice I've shown up and the hotel is not a hotel; it's like a hostel.
Well, I was.
Did you at least have your own room?
In New York, one time, no.
Oh,
okay. And I had to leave. Yeah. And then, and in San Diego, it was your own room, but it was like a closet. It was like it was like nothing.
Look at how spoiled we are now, though. Like your room, I had to leave. Whereas before, I was like, I guess I got into the habit of putting my you know, half of the time they didn't even have bedding. Like, I had my sleeping bag, but they give you the bed, but not the bedding. So I had my sleeping bag and a pillowcase.
Oh, yeah. No.
And then I'd put my valuables at the bottom of my sleeping bag.
Yeah, no. Right now, like, when I'm going to New York, I was checking for a hotel and I found one. I was like, oh, this is like pretty cheap. I mean, like, comparable. And I'm like, and then I'm. Me and they're like, oh, you have to share the bathroom. I was like, fuck, no. I'm not sharing the bathroom.
You gotta watch out for that shit, man.
No, I'll pay $100 more for my own bathroom.
It's like small print, baby.
I don't care. You know, yeah. My
oh, look at Mr. Own Bathroom over there.
I want my own bathroom.
Look at fancy, fancy one sink Ramos.
I think it just started happening. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like when you get older and you can actually afford a little more, then you do it. And it's like,
yeah, like I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did backpacking around Europe when I did.
Yes,
because I think
what
I would
have.
Yeah. Now, if I did it again, I would be so much pickier about.
Yeah, you don't do backpacking. You're just going from city to city and
finding like whatever deal I can find on hotels.com or using my points.
Yes. It would be a more expensive trip now.
Yeah, and also it would be more expensive in general because they're all more expensive. Those countries are all more expensive.
Of course.
Yeah. But yeah, Prague was beautiful and the food was great and it was just the right time to be there for both in general and for me.
What year?
That would have been 98, 99.
Okay.
And
that
then
was
Japan.
Like what time? Like in the summer?
It was probably around March. February or March.
So it was
still pretty
cold.
Chilly,
yeah.
But again, Prague looks beautiful when it's sort of frost covered, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Japan was awesome. It was just. Such a
is that that's a different change of culture, you know what I mean?
Because and so much more than any other place I've been. I've traveled some other places in Asia since,
okay.
And I don't know, Japan is just so different to everything,
right?
Like, I don't know, like when I was in Thailand or whatever, it felt like okay, this is completely not where I grew up, but it's still,
but you can still kind of like get around,
but,
like,
I don't know, just everything in Japan is just. Not only different, but weird different. I think that's what it is. Like, Thailand is just different, but Japan is, like, different, you know. They've just made some really strange choices everywhere. It's just.
Like, I feel like Japan, they made joy a novelty.
Yeah.
In Japan. And I'm like, I see happy people in other cultures, but in Japan, I saw more happiness in shop windows.
Yeah.
I've never been to Japan, so I don't know. I saw sternness.
Every choice they could make to do something weird, they have. Like, it's just. And it's such a weird mix of. Really super modern and also and that you super ancient. You sort of have like this hundreds of years old temple there, and then you'll turn a corner and you'll just be in this like storefront with the latest, like
robotic,
all the latest electronics and phones that aren't even out yet in Britain or America, and it's
and
just,
a furry shop.
Yeah,
that'd be weird shit like that.
So everything. And also then this sort of obsession with Western culture, but getting it slightly wrong as well.
Mm.
I think it was in Kyoto. We were.
People speak English there, by the way. Like, or was it easy, or like
It was easy enough. Yeah, we made some effort to learn Japanese, but my cousin is a language student, so he was much better at it than me. Anyway, mm-hmm. He wasn't studying Japanese, but he did a good job of. Boning up.
Getting around, yeah.
But also younger people, yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, younger people really did. Even, there's kind of a culture amongst certain younger people in Japan that they want to actively practice their English.
Yeah.
So if they find someone who is English or American, they are excited to...
Mm.
Right.
Like, we had someone, we were lost at a train station, and we didn't know which platform to go to, and a guy, like a college student, directed us to the platform, put us on the train... And then thanked us for the conversation. And we were like, this is, thank you. We were about to miss our train. We were lost. And you're thanking us for allowing you to
practice my English.
Yeah,
it was very cool. But then we were in Kyoto and at the end of the street, there was like this sort of pimped out car that had all the hydraulics and the neons and we could hear the bass.
Yeah.
But as we got closer, the song they were playing, you wouldn't have heard it. Never made it to America. But it was a song called Viva La Radio by this tween pop star called Lolly, whose other big hit was a cover of Hey Mickey.
Oh,
and this song sounded like a kind of Hey Mickey type song. It was the same kind of... So this bubblegum pop that they were listening to, but with like booming bass and like standing around trying to look like gangsters. And it just felt... It was so odd. It was so... Like,
right.
I think that's why I love Japan. Like, that's why I really enjoyed that trip. It was so completely unlike...
Like what you've seen
anywhere
else.
Yeah, it was
just
like everything. Yeah, everything was unlike everything.
Yeah. Because I mean, I've traveled. When I moved even from Venezuela to the U.S. and stuff like that, or now that I've been to Europe, there's nothing that I go like, you know, little thing, but like, there's nothing like, well, I don't expect
never
it,
seen so. That before.
Yeah, or like, you know, but yeah, I haven't been to Japan or Asia, so like,
yeah,
I think
was,
that's where you go.
It was
like,
cool. We stayed in, like, you can stay in hotel. Even the hotels were great, but also, and then we stayed in a backpackers hostel one night, but it was like the cleanest, nicest one I've ever stayed in.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But then also we stayed in a few, I think they're called ryokan, they're guest houses, which are just another place you can stay when you're in Japan, and it's basically like a house that's been converted into this guest house, but
okay.
It's traditional. House and you sleep on the futon on the matting and everything, and
nice.
All right. The rooms have like tea in there, and it's got the baths and everything. It was great.
Yeah, that I'll do. I like those things, like, you know, like sleep, like, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was so it was so comfortable. I think I'd still find it so really comfortable.
Yeah, I need to go. Have you been? Have you been to Japan?
Yeah, right? I went to Japan, but my on I was in the air when my gigs got canceled, so I had like a half holiday.
Weird.
In Japan, yeah.
It's an interesting thing when you go to those places for gigs because you kind of get a bit of a backstage tour of the country, but it, you know what? It depends on who the gigs are run by.
Yeah, exactly.
It really depends on whether the gigs are run by actual locals or expats.
It depends on their attitude.
It's also people that they want to, yeah, whoever they want to, like, because I've done some ones where, like, the people that book me, like, they really want you to, like, enjoy their town or their city. So they do a lot of plans and they'll take you here, let's go here, and let me show you here. And, like, and I'm like, okay, that's great. Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But then some of those
vodka
gigs,
bars and stuff like that in Japan.
But then the gigs around Asia, particularly, and also the Middle East, but, like, there is two different category of British person who runs the gig.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Very much dependent on how they view their adopted country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's you either
and
get,
also how they've devolved since they've been out of their country.
You get like the kind of like someone who's trying to recreate colonialism, like the British Empire, but in some little corner of Asia, and they're just like, and they only want to take you to the British places, and the only actual locals there are like in some kind of servant capacity, and it's just all horrible. And then you get the people who just actually, you know, co-run the shows with locals, and actually is like, oh, you're actually from here, and you're going to show me what it's like to live here, or at least a slightly curated version of it.
Yeah.
It's obviously never
Which
exactly
is the better option. Yeah, I've told this story before about being in Dubai, and I remember there was a sponsor. He worked for like Foster's or something, but he was the sponsor. And then after
the
show,
the coffee?
He was like, no, the beer, Foster's.
Oh, sorry.
Are you
thinking Folgers?
Folgers. But basically this guy afterwards was like, do you guys like women? There was three men on the bill. He was like, do you like women? Do you like women? And we're like, yes, we like women. And then he took us out to the four floors of whores.
That's not Dubai.
Yeah,
that,
he took us out to a big Singapore. Singapore, I mean.
Four floors.
He took us to where all the prostitutes were and stuff.
But what
and
is
then,
it?
And we were like, this isn't where we want to spend the night.
It,
we'd rather
it is
go
a,
to a bar. And he's like, you
this
guys
is
said,
Sabrazo.
You said you like women.
Sabrazo.
But you like women. Right?
It's
basically,
it's a building that is a shopping center. It's like a shopping mall by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at night, it's got bars dotted around in between the stores, and at night every bar turns into a pickup joint for sex workers. So it's just, and the different floors are themed as well.
Oh, yeah. Now there is a similar one in Dubai.
I don't doubt that for a second. So,
it's eight floors.
But
in
Dubai. I just use the four floors of whores reference. It just stuck in my mind. So everywhere I see that situation,
so
four floors of whores.
Did you get one?
No, that was the thing. We didn't want. That's what I'm trying to say is this guy was like, do you guys like women?
Yeah, yeah.
He takes us there, and we were like, oh, this isn't where we
want
to be.
Yeah, we don't have to pay them.
And he's the sponsor, and he's like, but you said you like women. We're like, that's not, that wasn't what we.
You should have been like, I can get women, not like you, bro. Like, what's going on?
But there is that. And then there's like the weird hype. I'm sure you've done gigs for Jonathan Atherton,
yes,
who is like,
that would be the,
who is a lunatic who runs gigs in. He won't mind me saying that either. Like he runs gigs in Asia.
He speaks all the languages though. He speaks all the languages.
Yeah, so he's someone who's like a weird hybrid of the different types of. He's Australian, but the different types of expat in there because he has fully assimilated, but also maybe fully assimilated a bit too far. Like he reminds me of, you know, like those sort of. 50s, like 40s and 50s movies that are set like where the hero goes to the jungle and then he meets like the guy who's been there, who's already been there for years, and like has like lives with all the locals. And like, you took your bloody time, and he's like there in a white suit and has like always got gin on the go. Like that's who John is. Like he's the guy who like meets the hero, and he's like he's like effortlessly jumping between
like Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah,
a little bit. Like,
but he's like effortlessly jumping between like Filipino and Cantonese and Thai
and with the animations that come along with each language too, because he gets very excitable. You'll be in the middle of a market somewhere and he'll get very excitable, and I'm like, oh, is something going down? Shit's going down. And I'm like, oh, that's just the way this that's the way this dialect works.
But it did, it did
once like, holy shit.
So we were in Singapore doing the shows for him, and they are it was me, Ro Campbell, and Janice Fair.
Okay.
I'm only saying that because JJ knows both of them.
Yeah.
And we were in and Singapore is super safe most of the time.
Oh, right.
Like Singapore is like really low crime rate because it's a sort of semi-authoritarian country, and it's it's kind of like subtly authoritarian.
Okay.
But it's also Singapore where I think chewing gum is now legal maybe, but it was illegal for the longest time.
You couldn't chew gum like anywhere or outside. Yeah.
Because people were spitting it out.
Because it's litter. Because it's pretend and it sticks to pavements.
But can
and
you
stuff.
Chew like in your house?
I don't. I think they were like you couldn't
buy
it.
Don't let the authorities know.
You couldn't buy it.
Yeah,
but
you can smuggle it into the country.
Some people be like, "Hey man, I got a couple of packs here.
I got
a little Trident."
I straight up like I arrived in Singapore. I realized I had like chewing gum in my pockets, and I was like, "Is that? Did I just do something illegal?
Did I just
accidentally do the same of like walking weed into the country?" Or something?
He's blowing a bubble. Get him.
Get him.
Sorry, I popped.
How dare you?
No, I was just chewing the last bit of some steak. But we were in one of these night food markets because they're all like you. That's where you eat. You have these like food markets at night, like the food court in a shopping mall, but all the food is amazing and it's outdoors.
Got it.
And all the furniture is this little it's just garden furniture laid out in these courtyards, like this plastic furniture. Yeah. And this guy came through, like covered in blood. Like, he was being chased by someone.
Squid Game.
Straight up, like, he was, like, he came through covered in blood, and then he, like, went into one of the food stalls, and then he came out with a machete, like, from one of the kitchens.
What?
And, this guy is, like, running around the food court. He's clearly, like, in distress. He's been attacked by someone. He's looking for the guy.
And nobody's
also,
doing
like,
anything?
He's lurching at the tables. Like, we scattered. Like, like me, Janice, and Ro, we got like way back, and we were like behind a pillar. At one point, he's like coming towards me, and I've got a pillar between us. I'm like going around the pillar. The other side is he's coming around that way. Jonathan is sitting at his table, like drinking his beer and eating his soup.
like
he's
nothing. Just like,
and we're talking afterwards when
he's
the guy clears off. Yeah, and he's like, well, he wasn't after me.
I thought you were gonna be like, yeah, no, that's Jeff.
I mean, it wouldn't have surprised me. But he's like,
And what was that guy running for? Or like, what was?
Here's what I think happened. I think, judging by how he was dressed and his behavior, I think he was in some kind of gang, and he'd fallen foul of some other gang.
Wait, is this a gang that from your childhood?
Yeah, exactly. And they were chasing them around the swimming pool, and someone threw a snorkel at one of the other gang, and then it all kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is what actually did kick it off. Right, like someone threw us that. Yeah, you don't throw a snorkel. That is disrespectful. You need to. I think what happened was I reckon it was some deal or something like that went wrong, or someone tried to screw someone else over, and he got attacked, and that's how that happened. And now he's trying to get his revenge, and now he's got a machete from the kitchen. Like it was like a cleaver.
I think
probably the wrong blade. I think it was like a meat cleaver, but it was like a sort of like he had this like big blade that he's wielding from.
But the fact that it doesn't even faze the promoter.
Yeah, it's like Jonathan's like, he's fine.
That happens around here.
But it also doesn't happen around here. That doesn't happen in Singapore. Like Singapore has like such low crime rates. But he's just he's not after me.
Maybe he was chewing gum.
Yeah, I know.
what's a place that you love to perform or that have you perform, like in terms of a gig, you know, like going to travel to be like.
That's a good question. Some of those Asian gigs can be a lot of fun, but also they can. But the ones that are less expat heavy, like Malaysia was fun because that was a lot more of a mixed crowd. That was a bit of everyone. That was really fun. some of the Europe gigs can be okay as long as the language barrier isn't too... Like, Scandinavia's fun. Mm. Netherlands is tough.
Why, they don't...
They're just stoic. They're just a very stoic people.
They're very analytical, the Netherlands, because they've learned their English so precisely off the television.
Yeah.
Really. You like, do you ever have that Simpsons conversation with them? They're like, but, yeah, they've learned about like how they learned about things like Halloween and stuff from Simpsons episodes.
But you also, you do a gig in front of them, and like, you'll get like, it'll like, sort of basically potter along as far as you know, and then at the end of the gig, you'll get this like huge round of applause, and you're like, oh, you are enjoying it. Yes, we were. It was very fun. But Denmark was great fun. Denmark was, there's a really good, it's so much about where the club is as well. Like, it's not the city. It's, like, often where, like, there's a really good comedy club in Denmark, in Copenhagen, called the Comedy Zoo. Uh-huh. That was great. Had a really fun gig in Finland a few years back.
Nice.
That was, there's the ski resort gigs in France.
Yeah, those are good fun.
Those are fun.
That's a party.
Run by a guy called Rich, who's just great. He's a really good guy.
Every time alcohol is involved with that, I mean,
yeah, he's the nicest guy and really fun and really cool guy. Yeah. And like, those gigs can be really good, but also then they take you skiing or snowboarding in the day,
which is a fantastic way to spend your day. Which is, we often like to ask our guests. So these ski hill tour, it's really great. So you ski and snowboard all day, and then you're entertaining people in the villas.
What happens if you don't
want to
ski or snowboard?
Well, if you don't want to ski or snowboard, you're less likely to get booked.
But also, you're less likely to enjoy the gigs because you don't.
Yeah, that's true. What's the point of
the
going
gigs?
There?
Don't pay particularly well.
Like
by
you
gigs.
Go for this.
You get a free lift pass, and you get all.
Exactly. They don't pay well by gig standards, except for the fact that this is the perk.
Yeah.
But I know some people who go who don't ski, and they'll like take the chairlift up to the mountain, and they'll have like a. They'll have a drink on the top of the mountain, and they'll get in a hot tub or something like that.
I got a concussion last time I did the tour, so I think my snowboarding days might be slightly behind me. Yeah. So if I go out and do them again, I might be like, can I just hold up the bar during the day? I'll be shit-faced in the
or
bar,
you can go,
and I'll do a drunk set at night.
Last time, Glenn did a cross-country skiing. Our buddy Glenn Wall did like a...
Did he?
Yeah, and it's like going for like a sort of jog around the lake. You're like, there's a frozen lake, and you're not going up and down very much, but you're just kind of like skating along in these...
I'll do that.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit of recreation.
So it's like going for like a long walk around this beautiful frozen lake in the mountains.
Which is a great way to sorry, what were you going to say?
No, what are you going to say? What did you do during the day is what you're about to ask?
Yeah, I was going to say like that. Yeah, that's a great way to bring it in, because if you take those snowboarding gigs and stuff like that, that's great when it kills the day, when an activity kills the day before your gigs. And that's what we always wonder of our guests. What do you do when you're... What do you like
I
to
try,
do?
I try to do stuff. Like, I will try to... Because I know what I'm like. I know what my brain is like. And if I don't make an active plan to do something, I will sit in my hotel room looking at my computer, and then it'll suddenly be 7 o'clock.
Right.
Like, and then it'll be
like, oh, I gotta get ready for the show. Yeah.
Showtime. So it's... maybe it's also a reaction to all those family holidays where it was just sit at the... Go in the pool. Be near the pool.
Yeah. Right.
Don't
so
leave
like
the resort.
The
I like to go to it. No, I like to go to a place. I like to leave my hotel.
Oh,
I like
got
to
it, got it.
Like, I was trying to go to a museum or go to a thing or go to like find what there is. I like it when there are other comics in town. That's also what I will always do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, first thing I will do when I'm playing anywhere.
It always depends who you're working with, doesn't it? Yeah. You can spend the day with the other comics.
Like, maybe the other comics on the bill with me, but also first thing I'll do whenever I'm on the road is look up what the other comedy clubs are nearby and see who else is playing them.
Nah, that's
like
cool.
We actually was it
Yeah,
last time
we,
I saw you was
Vegas.
In Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is,
and we hung out in Vegas because that was
we were playing
Brett Garrett, and you were doing.
I was doing the Comedy Cellar.
Cellar, yeah.
Yeah, but we were. So the first thing I do if I'm booked for Vegas is look up who are playing the other rooms,
especially Vegas because there's so many.
Yeah, because there's like six other clubs, so there's a fairly good chance someone you know is going to be there.
Yeah,
but even in even a smaller town, there's normally like there might be like an indie club and an improv or whatever. There'll be something.
Yeah.
So I'll do that, but also I'll try to find some activity. Sometimes people at the club will have hookups for things, and I'll do that. But just at least just walk around the town. Like, at least try and find.
Yeah, and also that helps you with the set later that
100%.
Night. 100%. You know, like, you want to get something to be like.
You want to have
a little bit of local
to connect in the beginning.
And also maybe for wider material, because you know what it's like when the longer you've been doing stand up, the less stuff you have to talk about from your life.
Yes.
If you don't make an active effort to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You start stand up and you got all these stories from your teenage
watching
and early 20s, and now you're like. My entire That's the reason why it's the, you know, the hack of like airplane food, sort of, what's the deal? Yeah. That's the reason why so many comics had jokes about that, is because that was their life. It's just like, get on a plane, do the gig, get on another plane, do the gig. All you know of life is hotels and flying, transportation. Yeah. And so I really try to do things just so I've got things to talk about, just so I've got... Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Even an experience that you didn't enjoy will be turned into comedy somehow.
Hopefully.
It's
like, you know, I remember years ago in Bristol going laser questing, or like laser tag, and just like having... the material about laser tag. Yeah.
How does that... Do you go with that mindset of going like, I'm going to...
No, I've learned not to do that.
That's right. Because I think it doesn't work when you go into the mind... I'm going to... Because remember one time I went to this other thing... Or like a wedding or something. I'm gonna get so much material, and like, I didn't get anything.
Yeah, you just end up having like a less good time because you're not in the moment. You're just trying to think, is this something?
Yes.
I once. This is the dumbest thing. I once got a colonic irrigation, like a colonic in Newcastle.
Just for the material.
In Newcastle, because I was like, this will be an experience. It'll be, you know, I've never had one before. People have talked about it. Maybe I'll get some jokes out of it.
This?
Basically, it's like a hose pipe up your asshole that supposedly cleans out your insides.
Oh,
so an enema.
Yeah, but like a prolonged one.
Yeah, yeah.
For how long?
Like, it's like you feel
you really
it was horrible.
It loses the appeal when you go a prolonged enema.
It feels like I thought it would also feel good because it feel like, you know, I thought it feel like taking a really satisfying dump, but actually what it feels like is the moment. Just beforehand, when you really need to take a dump,
and
you're feeling horrible,
and you can't get it out
for like half an hour, it's like 30 minutes of that.
Sounds way less appealing.
How does that work? Who puts the thing in the asshole?
There's like a tech, like a sort of who's dressed.
Brian,
do it.
You got a good job, buddy. Yeah. You'd be thankful for your job.
Honestly, what did you think, Francisco? Do you think you did it yourself?
I would think so.
He's been in there for 20 minutes, and I don't think the machine started yet.
Honestly, you're a PA for a while. You're lucky that you never like.
I've done a lot of colonics.
You had to put together a lot of IKEA furniture. You had to go on a lot of like drinks and food runs.
So what is this, like a car wash? Like, you get the hose?
No, you go into like
great. You just stop by like a car wash.
You go into like a treatment room, and there's like the tech is dressed kind of like a nurse, I think, to give like the veneer of medical respectability.
Can you pick a guy or a woman, or
no? It was just whoever was there.
I don't think they have a lineup of people. You choose.
You choose your inserter. Although I like it,
this place was basically this place was halfway between the Hyena Comedy Club in Newcastle and the place that they put you up.
Oh, wow.
So I was walking past this to and from the gig, and I was like, oh, it'll be something to do during the day. They had that, and they have flotation tanks, and I picked the wrong one. I had like the sensory deprivation flotation tank. Can I get a twofer? Can I just put it? The only joke I got out of it was basically the fact that I didn't get a joke out of it. This is the first time I've got anything out of it.
That's such a weird thing that like, it's hard to make a joke out of that. You know what I mean? Like, you just gotta tell the story. Like, it's like, how are you gonna even make? So like, did you feel better? Or?
No. The whole thing's a sham. And afterwards, I'm looking up, and the whole thing is just bullshit. I don't know. Maybe if you're like really constipated or something, maybe it helps. But like, I wasn't. So it's just, you know, you hear people tell these stories like, I saw like food I ate 4 days after like coming through the tube, because there's like a bit of the tube that you can see, and I did not look at that, but apparently you can, and it's like, and people like
chewing gum.
I felt like 10 pounds lighter, and it's bullshit. It's just nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It does nothing.
Well, it's the same bullshit in Vegas, like the one that you like the oxygen thing.
Oh,
that, you
that
put
thing,
it on
yeah.
To breathe.
It's very trendy now, though.
Yeah, it's same BS. Like I did. I think when I went with my dad and we were dating, he's like, "This sucks. I didn't feel anything."
It's like $100.
It's bullshit. Like, it's all BS.
Oxygen tanks.
Well, also you can if you really need.
I'd rather have the hangover for $100.
Yeah, but also if you really need oxygen, you can even buy, like, if you go to like a camping store. Holly's from Colorado, so we spend quite a lot of time there. And some of the higher towns in Colorado, even just in the general stores, you can buy like these mini oxygen tanks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've bought those before.
Oh, wow.
They're like
$20. You can go on Amazon and buy them. For real, yeah. They're just little oxygen tanks.
And they have like a built-in mask. Yeah. Like have the mask.
Oh, so
the mask looks like the drop-down mask that you get on a plane if it has.
Yeah.
But it's just attached to like a little oxygen tank that's, the cylinder's like, you know, it's not a big, it's like, like the size of a shaving foam can. Like, it's that kind of size. Maybe, right. Maybe a bit bigger.
Like a one-hitter.
Yeah, and it's like that. And it's like if you're up in Aspen or whatever and you're just a little too low on oxygen and you're starting to feel a bit lightheaded.
Yeah.
You get a bit altitude sickness, then you just take a few hits of that. Right. But the reason I'm saying that is that's like $15, $20 for that thing, which is exactly the same as you're getting from this nonsense.
Yeah.
Except I think they have flavors and stuff on that. Yeah, don't they?
Yeah, like mango. I'm like, I don't want my oxygen to taste like mango.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like that.
Yeah, exactly. Those things are pointless. And colonics are apparently not only not good for you, but it could be potentially actively harmful for you because it's washing out like the good bacteria in your system.
So the stuff that's
meant to be there, and you're just hosing it out.
Now, speaking of Holly, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to the two of you. You hosted a little Halloween get together on Saturday.
You're very
night,
welcome. Thanks for coming around.
So that was
thanks
very
for being
much
one of the first
fun.
Humans in our house. Since...
Isn't that interesting? So we're all you went to a party or two on the weekend as well. It is Halloween, so is the season. But that's it for a lot of us. It was our first time being guests at people's places or being in somebody's home. So how did you do with that? Was that a big hurdle to get over? Were you like, oh fuck, we've invited people in?
I don't know. There was a little bit of I think there was a little moment of should we be doing this? But we're all vaxxed. Everyone's double vaxxed, and we're all, and I think a couple of us are triple vaxxed. But
yeah, I have other diseases that I just
I need to talk to you about some of the stuff you left. Your trail.
His bathroom doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. I thought maybe you just closed that door.
Yeah, we don't have it. Yeah, we don't. I guess we're down to no bathrooms.
No, it was very nice. I mean, it's a hell of a party too, where I took things away from their party. So they sent me with you can't even call it a
what
goodie
do you mean
bag.
You said you took things away?
So,
you
stole? When I left the party.
You stole
Holly,
from his place?
Well, I didn't hide my passport well enough.
Yeah. Does anybody look like Matt Kirshen? Yeah, because I have got the ID for you.
He's ceiling tiles and he's got out.
He's ageless as well, so if you're underage, you can get away with this for years.
No, we had way too much food, so we sent a bunch of people home with stuff. But we definitely sent JJ home with a good amount of stuff, and then also Holly's been doing some
so much food,
and she's been doing some spring cleaning. So we've been cleaning out we had like duplicate liquor bottles, and she's like, "We got too much stuff on the liquor cart." And I'm like, "We'll get through it." She's like, "We won't. We'll never use this stuff." So JJ went home with like a box of booze.
Wow. I would,
and when you're like in your bike,
I get a whole. No, I got an Uber.
Okay.
So,
guys, I can see you just like put your food and alcohol in your bike. Well, it's like, I'm like driving by. I'm like, oh my God, home. Yeah. JJ is home.
He's looking like an alcoholic ET.
What a bummer. Take me home. I was proud of myself too. I didn't even hesitate. Like, because usually I'm like, oh, should I be taking people's, because when people want to take you to take things away from their party. And but it was just a whole box of alcohol.
Yeah.
And I think you were probably halfway through the set. Like, well, you don't want to take? Sure. All right. What do you got? I'll do it.
It's gone to a good home.
So I got two big heaps of. Like I said, I just ran out of the food today.
Oh yeah.
Two big heapings of food, and then a box of alcohol. A box. When you leave a Matt Kirshen party.
You showed up. You're an entertaining company. You were dressed as Robin Hood. What more do you need?
I was
Robin Hood.
Well, or Link.
So you're Robin Hood, Link. but you steal from the people.
You steal
from homes. I mean, like you're supposed to give it away.
You steal from your peers to give to yourself.
I took from my friends to give to me.
I don't know. Yeah, Link. You were some kind of. You were some kind of wood-based archer.
I call it medieval archer guy. I was medieval archer guy. Yeah.
You were some kind of arboreal bowman.
Yeah. I don't know the level of which. I don't think I bought this from the Robin Hood collection.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an officially licensed, trademarked Robin Hood
That's
thing.
Usually how you get costumes, though, nowadays. It's all off-brand. They can't put the actual name of the thing.
It's my favorite. Medieval archer always guy. The descriptions that they have to give.
Yeah.
So just like, obviously, this is from this movie.
Yeah. I love that.
Robot police officer.
Yeah, that's it.
And he goes by Robo.
Like, it's sued?
Hey, one last question we have is like,
this will be our second last question because we do have our traditional.
Yeah, the traditional last question. But this one is like, want to know, like, since you live here, you know, in the U.S. now for a while, like us, was there a customer tradition that you would love, you know, people in America to do, that you love to bring from England or from or from
even,
another country?
Even that said, is there anything that you really miss from Britain that you wish it was America, or vice, you know,
or from another country that you're like from Malaysia to bring it here, you know?
That's a great question. That's a really good question. I wish I had a good. I'm probably going to think of 50 good things to that straight after this recording.
Right? Yeah.
Because the things I miss most from, like, I miss certain food things, but that's pretty given.
Like what? Like what offhand?
And I miss,
you are vegetarian. As well,
I am vegetarian, but you know there are certain like snack foods and things like that, and I miss just the general concept of public transportation.
That's right.
The ability to travel by
train.
There's such a stigma around it.
I was just in Italy, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. Why can't I just like take a train?
Oh, and
take
a bus. Like here, the bus is considered like this sort of like.
Oh, you're homeless.
Whereas it's just everyone gets the bus and the train in England, and it's just how you get between places. And I miss being able to get trains between cities, between gigs. It's nice.
Yeah. I went to Staples Center to watch the Clippers game the other day, and I remember telling them I was coordinating a meeting with two other guys, and they were like, oh, do you want the parking pass, or we're going to drive through there? And I just went, I'll just get the subway, because I live close to the subway. And I could feel their eyes roll to the phone. You get the subway? I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in 25 minutes while you guys are queuing up for parking.
Yeah.
But there's a weird stigma around it, where there isn't so much in Britain. I mean, Britain, you get on buses.
Yeah.
Like easily, readily. You can even get buses to other cities for gigs.
Yeah.
You know, happily.
I think we do Christmas better than America.
Oh, yeah? In what sense?
I think, firstly, Britain just looks more Christmassy. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it's a more secular thing. Like, I grew up in a Jewish household. We did, you know, we would do Christmas dinner, like Christmas Day, and like the Christmas TV, like all the TV shows have Christmas specials.
Mm-hmm.
America doesn't do that.
Yeah.
They don't do it as well. Like our Christmas is like your Thanksgiving. Like Thanksgiving is the.
I don't know why I'm saying you're to a Venezuelan and a Canadian.
Give it to Brian.
Yeah, Brian. It's the American producers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think. I mean, for me, it was always been like the big difference has been New Year's, because New Year's in Venezuela is very. It's as important as Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, like, family thing. Like, you receive the year with your family, and you do all the superstitions, you know, that you eat, you know, all this stuff. So it's like, I remember when we first moved here, it was like nobody gave a shit. I was like, for them, it's just, for here, it's like Cinco de Mayo. It's like a party holiday. Like, there's nothing family-oriented about it or anything like that. And that was a big shock, because...
Yeah, I get that. And also, like, you know, Britain will have, like, the Christmas markets in every town, and they look great, and it just feels right. And then, like, all the pubs around, like, as it gets into winter, will have, like, some kind of mulled wine kind of situation that you can have, like a hot mulled wine drink.
That's cool.
Right. Oh, and then in summer, this is one I miss, just having, like, there'll be, like, just a jug of Pimm, like a massive barrel of Pimm's on the go. And that's just a drink you can get in like every pub and stuff. You know, one thing
I always assume that with like tennis season or something.
It's like, I don't know what it's even made of. It's like a blend of spices and herbs and stuff. And then you mix it with lemonade and you chuck a load of fruit in it.
And in America, sangria.
Yeah, except it's not wine based. It's kind of like you can get Pimm's here, but it's like sort of like a Pimm's cup as a cocktail, rather than just like something they have a jug of constantly. Like, actually, along those lines, this is what I miss about one thing I miss from Britain is. The second it gets slightly warm in England, the fact that everyone just like freaks out, runs outside, and goes to the park,
right? And work doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
and
all work finishes, and that's something I miss. Firstly, in LA, it wouldn't be a thing.
It happens
always
for 2 weeks.
Yeah. But like, even if you live somewhere that like somewhere that actually has weather, like you live somewhere like Michigan where it flips from hot to cold, it doesn't like. The first day it gets warm, people in Michigan don't just like walk out their office and take their clothes off and go to the park and sit there with beers and ice cream. Because that's everyone in England. And the front page of the newspaper will be, the next day's newspaper, the front page will be a picture of people in the park with ice cream and beers. And the headline basically, it was hot yesterday. Yeah. Like that's the news.
Well, that's the thing now that you notice, you just mentioned about being in a park and drinking. That's the thing that when I went to Italy right now that I... You know, people do over there or bridges. Yeah. I'm like, that's a thing that's kind of cool to be able to be like, hey, I'm going to go grab some bottle and, you know, stand in a bridge and drink.
Yeah, because you can't drink outside legally in most of America.
Yes, no,
there are rules
can't.
Against that. Whereas in Britain, yeah, you can drink in a park. Like, Italy has, like, the cafe culture as well.
Could.
Britain has much more of a pub culture, but it's...
I know they've outlawed it recently, but I don't know how much they're policing it. But you could, up until a few years ago, drink on the subway, on the underground.
Oh, yeah, you can't. They cut that out.
They
stopped
have
that
outlawed
a few
it.
Years ago.
They did stop. But I think I've been on the underground drinking, and it's not
people,
nobody really cares. It's like a lot.
It depends
of
on the
totally
I mean, the later you go, I've been on the London Underground on New Year's Eve and seen someone just do a line of coke off the back of his hand. But you're definitely not meant to do that, and it wasn't pleasant to see.
And that was JJ.
But you can't just
don't rope me in just as we're bringing the podcast to an end. Leaves everybody going, JJ was doing coke on the London Underground?
Dressed as the Robin Hood.
Which person did he steal this from?
Oh, we know. Yes, so the rules are more lax, but I do. I miss that too. I miss the casual drinking outside and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's going to make me feel like just such a mess, this podcast. Like, I lived in a house where we just smashed the toilet. The one thing I miss is drinking.
You clean your asshole. Yeah. Or what is it called?
It's been an adventure. An enema.
Enema.
But
colonic.
A colonic irrigation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing so much.
To speed it up. So.
Thank you for sharing so much about it.
I mean, they're the close. That's the same thing, isn't it? What's the difference between an enema and a colonic?
I think
irrigation?
An enema is like a one and done. You're like, you just fill it up, fill it out, empty it
and
out.
And a colonic irrigation, you're easing into it.
It's like a continuous
you're there
process.
For a while.
It's like a process.
One is a quick fuck and the other one's making love.
Yeah. It's like you leave the
I
tea
do
bag
this,
in.
I do it the same. I make love and fuck the same.
It's like a slow cooker rather than like a stir fry.
There it is. Buddy, you've been an awesome guest. We knew you would be.
Yeah, and where people can find you, by the way. People can find you on social media.
I'm like Matt Kirsch. I think I'm Matt_Kirsch on Instagram, but I barely use it. Matt Kirsch on Twitter. And then my podcast that you've both been on is called Probably Science.
Yes.
Yeah, do check out Matt's podcast.
That's in all the platforms,
It's on all the normal podcast places,
So much fun. I always have fun when I...
And you have any gigs that you...
Just a couple of ones around town, so nothing... I haven't got any big road gigs coming up, so...
Okay,
So like and subscribe to Probably Science when you're done listening to our podcast here. Like and subscribe to our podcast as well, of course. And we always have a question that we leave our guests on. So this has been fantastic. Matt Kirsch, ladies and gentlemen, our first in studio here at the Comedy Store guest.
On it.
Yes. And our final question for you, very straightforward. But buddy, if you could hand on one piece of travel advice for people, you know, after all these years of traveling around for your art form,
can I give two travel tips that I've got from older comedians?
Sure. Can we know the comedians for reference
absolutely.
As well? Because
so Rick Overton showed me that if you need to take a jacket off in the car when you're driving, or even if you're in the passenger seat, put it over your head like a sweater.
Wait, what?
Right, okay.
You're wearing a jacket right now.
Yeah.
Don't try and take your arms out like that and you're like, you know, trying to control. You just pull it over your head like that, like a sweater, in one go. Just pulls it off. Works.
While you're driving.
You reach over behind your back and you can pull it over and you're you know, okay, seconds. Yeah.
You don't get to do it if you're a passenger.
Less than a second it takes. So that's that.
All right. And then
this is like real old road comics tip from Mike Wilmot, our Canadian buddy, UK Uncle Mike Wilmot, one of the funniest men alive. And he told me if you got to wash your shirt in a hotel bathroom, you wash it with a shampoo or whatever, you know, the stuff they give you, the shampoo that they give you, wash it in the sink, rinse it out, but you want to dry it for the gig.
Yeah.
Roll it up in a towel. Get a dry towel, place the shirt on top of it, then roll the towel up with the shirt inside, and then like really roll it tight, and then twist it. So like put your foot on one end and twist the other end so it's like really twisted round.
Okay.
Then when you unroll it, most of the water's gone into the towel, you can iron it dry.
Wow.
Wow.
There you go.
Time saver.
You know what I say about that? I check a bag and I bring.
Yeah. Well, if you're gonna be fancy, then travel cubes. That's the other. Like, that's the fancy person travel is like get those little cube things that you can put. You separate your like. That's great.
Yeah.
Wait, what are those?
Yeah. Do you not have like okay? That you they're like little pouches that you divide your luggage into.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mate, how long have you been on the?
I mean, I do. Yeah, no, I don't have that.
So rather than having everything in the
in the one
in the one
what
thing,
I'm getting you for
so you
Christmas.
Go like, all right, they come in a set and they're just like little rectangular pouches, and you put each different type of thing in a different pouch, and then you can just layer it easily in your suitcase, and then when you come out,
it's like a little cat.
Or in my case, it's just clean and dirty.
Yeah. Oh, that's but that's also and know. Also if you're traveling with your lady and you're sharing a suitcase. Then it's like, all right, this is exactly that. And then everything just goes into the little... there you go. That's three tips. I'm sorry I broke the rules.
No.
Killed it.
There's no rules.
No rules. And why not? You're our first guest here, so you're totally allowed to do that, man.
Man, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having both of you.
Yeah, that was fun. And again, follow him. Subscribe to his podcast. And for us, just remember... subscribe to Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and yes, if you have any questions or any comments about travel stuff, just send us.
Hit us up. Send us your stories and stuff. We'd love to, I've talked about this in the past too, about being able to read. If any of you have weird stories, say you left on a journey with two of you and you came back from that journey with one of you.
Or three of you.
One
of them's your baby. Like, who knows?
Yeah, something happened on the road. Send us your stories. And in the future, I'll read them out to Francisco and our guest or whatever, and everybody can weigh in.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks a lot for hanging out with us. Matt, thank you for hanging out with us. Please look up Matt Kirshen's stuff, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, Aloo.